This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 374 and a quarter, up 6 3/4. March corn, 387 and a quarter, up 7. May corn, 395 and 3/4, up 6 1/2. January soybeans, 1051, up 17 and a quarter. March soybeans, 1056 and a quarter, up 16 and a half. May soybeans, 1061 and a quarter, up 15 and a half. December wheat, 551 and a half, up 9 and a quarter. March wheat, 557 and 3/4, up 8 and a quarter. May wheat, 564 and 3/4, up 7 and 3/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Tuesday afternoon. Technical buying rallied soybeans at the Board of Trade with support spilling over to corn and wheat. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 6 to 7 cents at 336 to 366, while soybeans gained 16 to 18 cents at $10 up to 1041. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 cents stronger at 339 to 361. Soybean bids were up 15 to 17 cents at 1023 to 1057. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 6 to 10 cents at 337 to 369. Soybean bids 21 to 24 cents higher at 1016 to 1067. And the wheat bids gained 8 to 10 cents at 463 to 502. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids up 17 to 21 cents at 1047 to 1061. Basis steady to 4 cents stronger, range from 4 under to 10 over the January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $425.60 to $440.60 per ton. That's up $15.70, with basis steady, range from 35 to 50 over December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids up 7 to 8 cents at 372 to 386, with basis steady to 2 cents higher, ranging from 2 under to 12 over December. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 7 to 13 higher at 364 to 374, with basis steady to 6 cents higher at 10 under to option December. Soybeans gained 17 to 20 cents at 1058 to 1078, with basis steady to 3 cents higher at 7 to 27 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bid 6 to 7 higher at 392 to 393. These same elevators raise their soybean prices 17 cents with quotations at 1091 to 1094. Soft red winter wheat 9 to 10 higher at 527 to 552, and the Milo up 6 to 7 at 419 to 420. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealers bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from 347 to 367. January soybean bids range from 1011 to 1036. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 349 up to 369, January soybean bids at 1027 to 1053, and in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 352 to 377, January soybean bids 1032 to 1064, and wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, they range from 499 up to 540. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 170.15, up 65 cents. February live cattle, 171.02, up $1. April live cattle, 169.10, up 30 cents. January feeder cattle, 231.37, down $1.97. March feeder cattle, 229.92, down $1.52. April feeder cattle, 230.25, down $1.50. December lean hogs, 90.95, down 32 cents. February lean hogs, 89.82, down 67 cents. April lean hogs, 91.65, down 90 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture, with Tuesday, the 25th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 23 cents higher, in a range of $77 to $88, with a weighted average carcass price of $85.97. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $61 to $67, 4 to 5 weight at $63 to $70, 5 to 6 weight at $66 to $72, and over 600 pounds at $67 to $74. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points are trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $56 to $61. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled $16,254. The opening report for United Producers Livestock Auction had estimated receipts of $388. Compared to last week, steers and heifers were $1 to $2 higher, and Holstein steers a dollar lower. Slaughter steers choice at $170 to $177.50, slaughter Holstein steers choice at $155 to $165, and slaughter heifers choice at $168 to $177. In the Illinois Direct Trade Cattle Trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on dress basis traded at $267, heifers on live basis traded at $168. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, for retail and processing cuts was established, with 460 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $92.18, which is $1.23 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $256.87, which is $1.17 higher, with select carcasses at $243.67, which is $1.42 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $113,000 compared to $112,000 for last week and $124,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $434,000 compared to $420,000 last week and $435,000 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. November and December corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.72. November corn delivered to Scottville, $3.72. December corn delivered to Scottville, $3.63. November and December beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.54. November and December beans delivered to Scottville, $10.54. November wheat delivered to Scottville, $5.16. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield and Scottville is $3.72. Beans at Greenfield and Scottville are $10.54. And wheat at Scottville is $5.16. That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. At 619, color radar shows no precipitation in the Mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Taking off a large crop this fall? Use your yield monitor to put back just the nutrients you used. Talk to M&M Service about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service will provide you with the latest innovations of precision farming technology, and with their expert analysis and recommendations, you'll find the process of decision-making a whole lot easier. Discover how M&M can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today to find out why they're your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
For today, cloudy skies with a mix of snow and rain possible. High temperatures in the upper 30s. We will have southeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, cloudy skies with a slight chance of snow. Low temperatures in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day becoming partly cloudy. Highs in the low 30s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy skies and warmer with a slight chance of rain on Sunday. Low temperatures in the low 30s, high temperatures in the mid 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have southeast winds at 7 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Partly cloudy skies on this Wednesday morning, right now 26 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Hi, this is Big Ed Wernstein's beautiful downtown Litchfield Carnival. Black Friday prices now. For example, GE steam dishwasher with nylon racks, black and white, just $399.95, stainless slightly higher. We have a whole group of Slate appliances too on sale now. Also, ranges, gas and electric, holiday cooking now, Black Friday prices. TVs and mattresses. We also have some great prices now for Black Friday. So see us now, Wernstein's, beautiful downtown Litchfield Carnival.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, now with 13 locations to serve you, and by CHS Shipman, farmer-owned with global connections. And we'll rejoin WSMI Farm Director Angela Besh next.
Hi, I'm Brian McMurtry, CHS Yield Point Specialist at CHS and Shipman. With Yield Point, a new CHS service, we can accurately place nutrients on your field that are essential for taking your yields and your profits to the next level. At CHS and Shipman, we are the best in the business, and we are committed to helping you maximize your yields through our customized Yield Point prescription writing services. Call me, Brian McMurtry, at CHS and Shipman today.
CHS Shipman, farmer-owned with global connections. Trust in a bank develops over time, not in a few months or years, but over decades and in some cases, centuries. CNB Bank and Trust roots go back to the mid-19th century with the founding of a bank in Carrollton in 1854. Records show this to be the oldest continuously active bank headquartered in Illinois. CNB Bank and Trust is proud to be celebrating 160 years of banking excellence. CNB Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and Illinois' oldest bank established in 1854.
Illinois EPA Director Lisa Bonnet and Illinois Department of Agriculture Director Rob Flyder announced that the public is invited to provide comments on a new statewide effort designed to improve water quality in Illinois and the Gulf of Mexico. The public comment period for the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy is now open, and comments must be postmarked by midnight on January 24, 2015. The Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy was put together by a task force looking to rely on the latest science and best available technologies to guide statewide efforts to reduce phosphorus and nitrogen losses that end up in Illinois waterways and the Gulf of Mexico. These nutrients spur algae blooms that deplete oxygen levels, hinder recreation, and threaten public health. Nutrient pollution can also degrade drinking water quality and require cities to install costly treatment equipment. The strategy outlines practices to reduce nutrient losses from point sources, such as wastewater treatment plants and industrial facilities, and non-point sources, including runoff from farm fields and city streets. It uses scientific assessments to target the most critical watersheds and to build upon existing state and industry programs. The goal is to reduce the amount of total phosphorus and nitrate reaching the Illinois waters by 45%. Recommendations include establishing committees to coordinate water quality monitoring, developing specific measuring criteria, improving urban stormwater programs and education, improving agriculture stakeholder and agency collaboration, and defining a regular review and revision process. Illinois EPA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture developed the strategy with representatives from state and federal agencies, agriculture, and nonprofit organizations, as well as scientists and wastewater treatment professionals. The one-year effort was facilitated by the Illinois Water Resources Center at the University of Illinois and marks the most comprehensive and integrated approach to date for addressing both point and non-point sources of nutrients in Illinois. For more information on the strategy and public comment period, you can visit www.epa.state.il.us/water/nutrient/NLRS. Many farmers had outstanding crop yields this season, but what does that mean for the soil these crops were grown on? Senior agronomist for the western part of North America for the Mosaic Company, Kurt Wolfolk, went over the importance of monitoring soil health following a large crop.
We've had a great crop this year, high yields, which equals high removal from the soil. And we want to look at the impacts that that has on soil fertility for that long-term soil fertility plan with a grower. So again, with high yields and high removal during slumping grain prices, it's easy for growers to maybe want to make cuts on those fertilizer applications. And we want to remind them that a balanced crop nutrition approach, if you own a piece of land or even if you're renting a piece of land, every year we need to grow a crop to its highest potential. We've seen from studies that up to 60% of your yield is based on crop nutrition. So independent of the seed technology you use, the precision ag you use, any other technology you might use, it's very important to build that foundational building block for your crop this next year. Look at the removal values, look at the soil test results, and start thinking beyond nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. We really have to start addressing our micronutrients as we jump into these higher categories of yield removals.
So as farmers are wrapping up the harvest and are already setting their mind on next year's crop, what do you recommend they do to make sure that their soil is healthy enough to give the crops all they can this coming year?
Again, the first thing to really get an inventory of your soil is a complete soil test. So as I mentioned a bit ago, you know, beyond a nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium number, you need to look at some of those micro numbers in your soil test and get a full spectrum soil test. Often we look at soil testing to be done every 4 years. We encourage growers and retailers, let's do that every other year or possibly every year if at all possible. Along with that, you know, some tissue sampling and really doing the math on these removal values. So there's some great resources that we at the Mosaic Company have. CropNutrition.com has some calculators. We have some slide rules that can be used to look at these different removals for each nutrient, and it will multiply out for a given yield goal. So you can see exactly how many nutrients you pulled out of those soils.
And after this year's large harvest, are you expecting any of those nutrients in particular to be lacking?
Yeah, there's been a lot of particular interest recently in the zinc and boron micronutrients. Both of those are needed at early stages of growth. And zinc is critical in chlorophyll formation and protein synthesis. Boron is primary and it's crucial for primary and secondary cell walls. It's also very important for the reproductive structure. So whenever you talk about corn, it affects things like pollen tube elongation and really how many kernels we get on an ear of corn. So those are really the micronutrients of particular interest that we're focusing on now.
Again, that was Senior Agronomist for the Western part of North America for the Mosaic Company, Kurt Wolfhook. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced that nearly 2,500 applicants will receive disaster assistance through the Emergency Assistance for Livestock, Honeybees, and Farm-Raised Fish Program, or ELAP, for losses suffered from October 1, 2011 through September 30, 2013. The program, reauthorized by the 2014 Farm Bill, provides disaster relief to livestock, honeybee, and farm-raised fish producers not covered by other agricultural disaster assistance programs. Eligible losses may include excessive heat or winds, flooding, blizzards, hail, wildfires, lightning strikes, volcanic eruptions, and diseases, or in the case of honeybees, losses due to colony collapse disorder. Beekeepers, most of whom suffered honeybee colony losses, represent more than half of the ELAP recipients. The Farm Bill caps ELAP disaster funding at $20 million per federal fiscal year. To accommodate the number of requests, which exceeded funds available for each of the affected years, payments will be reduced to ensure that all eligible applicants receive a prorated share of assistance. The last weekly state crop and weather report was released. Producers are winding down harvest across the state. Some operators continued with fall tillage and fertilizer applications, but freezing temperatures may have put an end to field work for the season. There were 4.6 days suitable for field work for the week ending November 23rd. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.27 inches, 0.37 inches below normal. The average temperature was 27.9 degrees, 13 degrees below normal. Corn harvest was 97% complete, compared to 98% last year and the five-year average of 92%. Sorghum harvest was 95% complete. Winter wheat that was emerged reached 76%. Winter wheat condition was rated 4% very poor, 7% poor, 33% fair, 54% good, and 2% excellent. Pasture condition was rated at 2% very poor, 8% poor, 27% fair, 51% good, and 12% excellent. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 6% short, 78% adequate, and 16% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 8% short, 81% adequate, and 10% surplus. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.